Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Friday. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. And a little bit of a surprisingly damp morning here in upstate New York as we are at the doorstep of Travers. And it's not our normal timing, but everything seems in place for a really terrific Saturday. And not just Saturday, a terrific weekend of racing, really, at all the major summer ovals. Of course, today, things get started with the Saratoga Special, and actually at Del Mar. They got two-year-olds on tap as well, the Sorrento, but of the Philly variety. And for those that haven't had a chance yet to dive into Sunday, you're going to have your dance card really full, because in addition to what is anticipated to be the force out of, you know, the first force out of the season at Saratoga of the Empire Six, well over a million now in the pool, and today and tomorrow, you would expect to augment. So there'll be a healthy target in the jackpot. Ellis Park on Sunday. We're all keyed up for the Ellis Park Derby, and certainly we're looking forward to art collectors' return and a handful of legitimate and pretty accomplished prime competitors, notably Dean Martini off of the Ohio Derby win, Shared Sense out of the Indiana Derby win, and they all are going to mix it up with another nine hopefuls. But forget about the nightcap for a minute. Marty McGee is going to join us right at 9:10, because Marty's got a busy schedule. Marty's in demand. Let's just put that out there right now. When you're a Mr. Marty McGee, and actually he's been on vacation. He actually got a week off. I would love a week off, to be honest. We never got the mid-year break, but just back from Ocean City, Maryland, and so we'll get a quick view from Marty of his vacation travels as he returns to Maryland. But he's got Tom Leach later in the morning, so we'll get a first view of things, including the Kentucky Derby future wager, the last of them, the longest run up to Derby when it comes to future wagers, seventh pool being offered. So we'll do that with Marty as well. But we're going to go over this Ellis Park card, and that's 48 hours out, so I suppose Marty had to turn around the selections for the Sunday paper. This is most likely, I don't know what would make, what would supersede this. This has got to be the best card in the history of Ellis Park. I don't know how there's a debate about it between the inaugural Audubon Oaks, which has got Oaks points, and the Ellis Park Derby. Derby points, the Groupie Doll, the former Gardenia, the long-running premier stake of Ellis Park's seasons, and then a juvenile and a debutante being run, I think, for the fourth time. Juvenile fifth and debutante fourth. Then there's an allowance and maiden special, and it is just spectacular. So on Sunday, you're going to have to, I think you got to look at this card in a serious manner. And I don't see how we bypass it. I mean, looking at the sequence from the sixth, 12 in the debutante, 12 in the allowance, which is a one other than on the turf, mile and a 16th, then 11 in the Oaks, featuring the likes of Casual and Sconson. Ocean Breeze in here for Catalano. Just kind of looking at this. Hello, beautiful. And Brittany, we'll talk about Brittany Russell in a minute. Brittany, we'll get to it in a second. But Hello, Beautiful, who had been considered for the test, very interesting. She bypasses the heavy heads and not such a crazy idea that she takes Hello, Beautiful out to Evansville. So a nice group in the Oaks of 11. Then the groupie doll is 12, including Street Band, Buff Bradley with Divine Queen, and Lady Kate in here for Eddie Keneally, Sarah C. for D-Wayne, Iston Council, Larry Jones, Lady Apple. A very nice group in the groupie doll. And good for Buff trying to win the namesake race. And then that gets you to the Ellis Park Derby. And we'll go over that top to bottom with Marty, where Art Collector drew the four-hole and was made the 4-5 favorite. Aggressive on the favoritism front. And Dean Martini, 10-1. Sprawl turns up in here out of the Ohio Derby for Mott and Claiborne and Mrs. Dillschneider. And Odor, 12-1. Somewhat interesting Trident hit, Brendan Walsh with a Tis Now colt that's been kind of under the radar, broke the maiden from off the pace, going 7/8, and then went to Indiana and got beat in an allowance, going 1.70, and now stretches out, and kind of intriguing Trident hit. It's going to be a big price, 9-2 on Shared Sense, who drew wide. Attachment rate for Dale. Dale's other horse, Rogue Element from Calumet, got A-Eed. On the outside looking in, L&N Racing, the Levinsons, and, of course, coming off of the Alan Jerkins success, their first graded stake win, Rowdy Yates, 20-1, so on and so forth. Necker Island, 15-1, Chris Hartman, the $100,000 claim that was then third in the Indiana Derby. We'll have fun with Marty talking about the Ellis Park card and the future wager. Saratoga seems like for Sunday, a pretty nice. I doubt we'll have much time to talk with Nick about it, but we'll let Nick and Dave Grenig is going to be with us too in this first hour. Maybe we'll just, you know, give you the highlights of the sequence, but it looks like a, you know, it's a well-populated series of races for the Empire Six Force out on Sunday. Meanwhile, of course, looking ahead to the Travers card and the All Stakes Pick 5 sequence, the Troy, actually the Ballerina, the Troy, the Waya, the Test, and the Travers. So that'll be a big part of our focus. Let me give you the rundown here because we got lots to do. Marty McGee, Dave Grenig, Jay Privman, a harness visit. It's Hambletonian weekend at the Meadowlands. Dave Brower is going to join us. I very frequently, you know, I get requests about, you know, what about the sulky side and the Hambletonian, about as big as it gets, and Dave Brower, who's as good as it gets, to join us from Exit 3. there you go. or was it Route 3? Is it Route 3? That little section of road that takes you from the turnpike to 17. Dave Brower. Hammer, of course, we'll check in with, and Nick. Hour three, Jeff Franklin going to join us at the end of the show. We've got to give you some updates on Thorograph. The player services have continued to expand, and want to make sure people, considering the conversation we had with Matt Hegarty, and the rebates, kind of a reminder, really, reinforcement that you don't have to be, the biggest better ever to get something back. And ThoroughGraph Player Services will help you on that front. I'll also quickly remind of the Best of Ohio, card at Thistledown. $500,000 in stakes for the Buckeye Breads. A nice card tomorrow at Thistledown. We know where Looch will be. He'll be tied on without a doubt, right? he'll be tied on to the Best of Ohio. Ron Paolucci is the Best of Ohio, period. Marty McGee standing by, and he's fit and ready. He's tan and trim. Mart, how was vacation?
Good. Went to Ocean City for 4 nights and then down on the Chesapeake Bay for 3. Got home yesterday and diving into all these races for Ellis Park. I'm going to go to the racetrack on Sunday. It'll be my first time at a racetrack since March 15th at Gulfstream. So I was saying it's probably the longest I've ever gone without visiting a track since I was about 11.
That is a refrain that is being repeated really all over the place. And of course, with races here like the Whitney and Travers, Alabama next week, I'm seeing so many people. This is the first blank that I've missed in 17 years, 24 years, etc. It really has been the theme of the summer. But meanwhile, Marty, we're going to concentrate on the Ellis card, which I remarked to you earlier this morning, and to start the show, this has got to be the best card they've ever had.
It's got to be the best. I don't know if it's the richest because they ran the Claiming Crown here in about, I think it was about 2007. And I was trying to think of all those 110 or whatever they were worth, if they had enough of them, if that would have been more than this. But in any event, clearly, there's never been a Kentucky Derby prep of this magnitude. I mean, not to jinx or put the kibosh on Tis the Law, but if he ran like eighth, if he ran bad in the Travers and this horse Art Collector runs off the TV screen, he conceivably could challenge him for favoritism. And in any event, I think everyone is expecting him to win. He's a 4-5 morning line favorite. And proceed to Churchill Downs as one of the top contenders for the Kentucky Derby, if only because of how great he looked in winning the Bluegrass last time out. So this is really a live horse, and it's Ellis Park is capitalizing on the misfortune of everyone else in terms of the COVID. But, I mean, this is a well-positioned 4 weeks out prep for the Derby, and they've surrounded it with some great races besides.
Now, and we'll talk about them. When it comes to that topic that you just touched on, I said the same thing either yesterday, maybe to Askin, or Wednesday, that Art Collector does stand to potentially come out of the weekend, depending on the outcomes. The potential favorite, it's hard to deny that. I completely agree. We should also, Marty, fold in as part of that discussion, because we'll start the conversation with this Ellis Park Derby field, the fact that this race will go off after, about 10 minutes after, the last future wager pool closes. And I saw some chatter that, oh, that's not right. And I thought, what are you talking about? It's going to give you a better chance to get a price potentially on a horse you might like out of this field, including Art Collector.
Well, it becomes a future in the truest sense for the three horses that are in the field, those being Art Collector, Shared Sense, and Dean Martini. You won't know the results like you do in the Travers. You and I have said for years, you're crazy to bet on a horse until after it runs, if the odds don't close until, Sunday at 6 o'clock. So They're supposed to run this race about 15 minutes after the pool actually closes. I saw this comment, Steve. I said to Jenny Reese, who's handling publicity for Ellis, look, the way it is, if you card this as the last race, which they did, it's going to be outside the pool. And so I called Danny Bork, the racing secretary, on Tuesday morning and said, look, is this the way it's going to be? He said, yeah, let's make it interesting. So, yeah. So they're doing it purposely. So, I would imagine we have Tisdale's a 9-5 morning line favorite. Of course, that can change depending on how he runs Saturday. I'm talking about in pool 7, the last pool toward the September 5 Derby. And then you have 3 6-1 shots, one of them being Art Collector. The other two are Uncle Chuck, who, of course, runs Saturday in the Travers, and his odds could change. Depending on how he runs. And the other horse is Honor AP, who does not run after having run last weekend in the Shared Belief at Del Mar.
And there's a total of 12, actually, that are running this weekend in the two preps, the two point races that are involved. And Anno Dor at Ellis, and Art Collector is mentioned, and Dean Martini, and Finnick the Fierce, who by virtue yesterday, Marty, I happened to reach out to KK, Kevin Kirstein, about the reserved slot for the Euros in the Road to the Derby, and no Euro that scored points over the course of the season is coming. So Finnick the Fierce right now is, you know, horse number 20 in the Derby field. Shared Sense, of course, running as well at Ellis. And then the others coming out of the Travers, you're looking at Caracaro, Country Grammar, Max Player, Chivalry, South Bend, Tis the Law, and Uncle Chuck. So there'll be a referendum on the Travers horses in the pool. There's a couple of horses in the pool, Marty, that we should note. Rushy and Dean Martini, they still would have to be supplemented to participate in Derby, correct?
Yeah, and Tom Amos has been pretty clear that unless the horse wins Sunday, they're probably not going to do it. So
there you go. Okay.
The chances of him beating Art Collector are, you know, what the odds say they are. But Rushy, I mean, Michael McCarthy's been a little, I don't know what his story is out there, but in the last Futures Pool 6, which was 3 weeks ago,
yeah,
the horse closed at 141-1. So, that says a little something there.
Well, so be aware of that when you're looking at this. And I'll tell you what we should also bring up is the fact that the all other three-year-olds is 30-1 going in. And there is the specter of one three-year-old that should he be able to get in the field if the point scorers aren't interested, if there's a slot, Mr. Fipke will run Sherrill's Spite. Spite Sherrill in the Derby. If he can get in. And
yeah,
so
the morning line is 30-1. I still don't know if I would take that bet.
Interesting. All right. And they're not sure who else. There might yet be an unknown that somehow comes in the back door for Derby. So we'll monitor this. The pool opens today at noon and closes at 6 on Sunday. It's one of many things people are going to have to be on top of on Sunday. And Marty, you're still doing you're doing the Gulfstream coverage, correct?
No, I took off this week, because I was in Maryland. I'm going to start doing it. Start doing the analysis at least two or three more weeks before we really get crazy with the Derby here.
All right. Well, because I'm mentioning it, because I just caught wind that the Gulfstream Rainbow Six is being forced out Sunday as well as the Empire Six at Saratoga, and then there's this spectacular card Sunday at Ellis. Let's talk about some choices and some options if somebody wants to either hook up horses with Art Collector or take a shot against.
I mean, I'm kind of focusing on him just getting through this. I mean, I've been so disappointed with Anno Dor ever since the Breeders' Cup, ever since I had like 40 to win on him in the juvenile. He looked like a winner the whole way and hung on the money. And then he hasn't run that well in all of them. So I guess that, I mean, Blaine Wright's really trying to come in the back door with him. He's well drawn in post two with Tyler Bayes. I think he might trip out real nice. There's some kind of cheaper, if you will, speed in there with Little Minutes and Rowdy Yates, both of the Asmussen horses, and Truculent, a Calumet long shot for Jack Sisterson. I think that Art Collector sits right behind them. Maybe Ann O'Dor comes on. Maybe Shared Sense overcomes the 12-hole. You know, Ellis is a mile and an eighth circumference, so they'll start and finish at the finish line. So it's kind of a tough ask from that 12-hole, although he will, you know, just let him settle early and probably have to pass everybody. But I think it's either a 4-2 or a 4-12.
Any outsiders that deserve, you know, some attention? You've got some horses that have hinted at ability, and I thought that the late addition to the field of Trident Hit, and I'm anxious to see a little bit more about him and Brendan Walsh putting the blinkers on this Tisnow colt. And mile and an eighth, you would think, would suit him. And Corey Lannery is going to save ground every step. If there's a 30-1 in here that I could see clunking up for a piece, it might be him.
Well, I texted Brennan, you know, because there's a bitter irony here for him trying to get in the back door, of course, because of Maxfield, you know, having been eliminated after that one breeze. Got it. I mean, I'm getting my times mixed up. Maybe it was in May or something. I don't know when it was. April. But anyway, I texted him asking him, just fishing for a comment, and he said, let's see what happens on Sunday. So, I don't know how confident they are. It really is late in the game, Steve.
Oh, no doubt. And you know, it's that's been the whole theme about, you know, horses kind of coming out of, you know, out of left field, and you know, late developers and such. You talked about Shared Sense, of course, the win in the Indiana Derby. The race lost Major Fed, and how much more should people know about Greg Foley's decision to train up to Derby with him?
Well, I mean, I only corresponded with Travis about it, his son, who, you know, is really instrumental with his dad, has been for the last few years now. And they said they were satisfied with how he's doing. I didn't feel he necessarily needed another race, unlike the way that Tommy Drury's talking about Art Collector. And they got enough points, I think it's 38, which should get him in, unless something really odd happens in both of these races. So they're sitting on a pat hand, they think. He's ready to run an explosive race. He's going to have three more breezes. And, you know, they had to make a decision one way or the other, and they decided to wait this out and just point to the Derby.
Interesting. Second off the layoff for Rowdy Yates in here, 20-1 for Asmussen and LNN, and I think we should mention Attachment Rate as well, who has shown flashes and has been kind of running the same race pretty much all spring and into the early summer. Fifth in the Bluegrass, beaten eight, but Dale's absolutely going to take a shot. And do we know anything about how he's done since the Bluegrass?
We don't. We know that Dale wants to run in the Derby, though. So, and that's pretty much. So Dale loves the Derby as much as all of us. So yeah, he wants to run in it.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about beyond the Ellis Park Derby, the Groupie Doll, the long-running feature, typically of summers at Ellis Park, the old Gardenia, and this got a nice group.
I mean, Streak Band. She hasn't won since she won the Cotillion, but it's only been four races. Each of her last 10 races have all been graded races, and she's a class in here. But she does have the 12-hole in that odd out-of-the-clubhouse elbow, as they call it, race. So I don't know how it's going to set up for her. But there's some nice fillies in there with Lady Apple and Lady Kate. And Divine Queen, to me, is a sleeper, and so is Club Car. I'm sure the Club Car will show speed from the outside and be prominent. Divine Queen surely needed her last, and, you know, we've talked about Buff having really been sidelined by a variety of things, but his horses just now, I think, are going to be coming into form, so she's a sleeper at a big number.
Well, and of course, the namesake star from Buff and the two-time Breeders' Cup winner, I'm sure Buff would love to win a groupie doll. It's a nice set, and it feels like there's plenty of pace in here, actually, the more I look at it.
Yeah, there is. I mean, that should help Street Man. I mean, Larry Jones is quoted in the Ellis notes as saying he doesn't know how much she has progressed from 3 to 4, if any, and that's kind of been borne out by her form. But you would think if she runs her A race, she'll win this one.
I'm glad you pointed out Club Car. Seems tactical and might be the clever player in here. You know, Ian Wilkes, too, with Dignity, makes a 4-year-old debut in here and has been working up a storm, actually, at Churchill, and has got the right style to come late. It's got the right guy aboard. Leperu, who's ridden the Declaration of War filly out of the very nice Ivory Empress. This is a top-notch breed by Mrs. Witham, and 8-1 with Dignity. That might be me looking at that, actually. So, all right, good. Let's keep moving forward. The Audubon Oaks offering points, of course, for the Kentucky Oaks, and it feels like we got some hungry fillies in here, Mart, that are trying to maybe recapture some momentum.
Yeah, I don't know if this is really an Oaks prep, more like the 8 Bells, which is going to be run the same day, September 4th. I don't think I'm getting 8-1 on Ocean Breeze and Joe Talamo. I mean, she was the beaten favorite last out. Turns back to the 7/8. I like her a lot. I think 4 or 5-1 maybe on her. That she's my pick.
Well, I mentioned earlier Brittany Russell coming out here with Hello Beautiful. She had thought she was going to run in the test, but then the prospect of banging heads with the likes of Gamine had her rethink that. And the trip out here makes perfect sense. And yesterday in the nightcap, quick aside, last night in the nightcap at Saratoga, we ran a late running third with Kid Chocolate. Brittany Russell, very clever of her to take King's Honor, who was a very nice 3-year-old, brings King's Honor to Saratoga and kind of put this horse over on the public a little bit at 10-1. Nice job by Brittany. And Hello Beautiful, a very nice filly in here, 4-1. And Leperu hops aboard with Sheldon, her husband, unable to come out and make the trip.
Yeah, I mean, this is a wide open race, Steve. I mean, it's one of a number of good races like this on the card, including two baby races.
Well, and a quick aside before we go, Mark, a couple of thoughts about the two juvenile, the debutante and the juvie?
Well, in the fourth race, and I don't know why they didn't put them all together, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and make a pick all six, pick five. But anyway, I've got Cowan picked, and then I have Crazy Beautiful in the filly race, the race six.
They have seven? Yeah, seven in the juvenile, and they've got a much fuller field, yeah, in the debutants.
Yeah,
it's got a dozen.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they could have. I don't know why they did it. I'm not going to question Danny Bork. He's, he's Hall of Fame bound. I'm not.
He's been doing it a long time. Well, Marty is, however, bound for the Tom Leach Show. Marty, enjoy the weekend. Glad you're back, and we'll talk soon.
Talk soon. Thanks, buddy.
Marty McGee, everybody. DRF McGee to start the morning. And this is really a top-notch day of racing at Ellis Park. Wow. I just weaved in too about Gulfstream with their, they've got the Rainbow Six, and that, if I'm not mistaken, that's got that's over, well over seven figures. I'll get the exact amount, assuming there isn't a wipeout of it, which does happen. And, Mark, we'll do here, Case, start. Let's play out a first break before Dave Groening joins us. Nicely done. And by the way, Kay, I've got to send you, I mean, this is our longstanding, first break accompaniment, and we do, which we love. But I may have found something that you might, I'm going to send it by, Kay. You get some feedback from your thoughts, all right? I think it was actually last night. By the way, speaking of last night, we, after the race, we're very pleased. And Tyler loved Kid Chocolate. Jeez, he came back and had the nicest things to say. He said, you know, every time I asked him, he responded. He kind of blew the turn. He had had trouble right off the break, fairly early. He broke beautifully, and I you know, with the turf, the turf had a lot of give. You see the splash up yesterday. There was still plenty of moisture in the top. Tyler said the horses weren't sinking too far down, but the top was plenty loose from the rain. But Manny Franco came over with that implied volatility of Rudy's and almost clipped heels. And so Tyler had to take up. And then Kid kind of had trouble with that turn. And that's his first time around two turns. So he, to some degree, might have been a little surprised how quickly the turn came up on him. But once he got down the backstretch, he was terrific and got beat a couple of lengths, had a career best 70 buyer out of it, and was very pleased. But then, we had only one of our partners was able to come, which was too bad. One was going to come from Rhode Island and had to turn around at the last minute when that whole thing came up. And I know so many people are disappointed, owners that were coming in or hoping to come in from those 35 restricted states and Puerto Rico. It's very tough, difficult situation. But anyhow, our one partner, my longtime friend, Joe Caprio, came in from Hamilton and really enjoyed it. He actually got out for the day, thanks to Kid and Brittany Russell's 10-1 winner. And you also had Donk in between us. Cataract ran well, but we went over to Nove and Louis Lazanero. Thanks to Louis for a wonderful evening. Tina came into town and with the Siakas and the one and only Ronnie Ebanks, and they really had a great time. So thanks to Louis for a lovely evening at Nove out on Route 9. After the races or for lunch, whatever. Nove. Let's take this break, and then we're going to dash through the morning. Dave Groening next. Jay Pribman, Dave Brower, Nick Tamaro, and more. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Ah, Saratoga. It's history. It's tradition. It's world-class racing. It's jump racing. Yes, steeplechase racing has played a role in Saratoga's rich history and tradition since 1864. And today, it's a part of what makes Saratoga so special. Watch every Wednesday of the meet and two special Thursdays featuring the Grade 1 AP Smithick on July 23rd and the Grade 1 New York Turf Riders Cup on August 20th. Savor the thrill of horses flying over fences. Steeplechase Racing, it's a Saratoga tradition.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
An ending fitting for the start, you twist and tore our love apart. Your life fingers through the dark, shattered the lamp, put it down as a cat.
We're back at the races, 9:35 plus, and Dave Greinig in the surprise rain this morning that has canceled turf works. Dave getting ready, you know, expecting some turf workers, but that'll have to wait. Dave, good morning. Yep. No Dave. All right. We will... all right. Case will grab him. Jay Pribben's going to join us next, too, by the way. And I mentioned the Sorrento today, seven fillies to start the weekend and start the week at Del Mar. And then the boys come back at Del Mar on Saturday with the best pal, including Roderick. The Wesley Ward that had thought about running today at Saratoga, but then made the move out west and is going to be the 9-5 favorite, actually. So clever move by Wesley Ward to go out west with Roderick, considering, you know, Steve Asmussen's presence today at Saratoga in the feature in the Saratoga special, that Cazadero. And in fact, we can say hello now to Dave Greinig.